following is brought to you by Canyon Ridge Church at Tacoma. For additional podcasts or information on service times and upcoming events, please visit us online at www.explorecrc.com.
About the four relationships that we need to connect with as a church in order for us to be the church that God has called us to be. And I'm excited to continue this. Last week we talked about Christ and how Christ was that Sunday school answer relationship that we need to focus on, but it was more than just a Sunday school. It's more than about a routine. It's really about a relationship with Jesus that we want to follow because it's our character and our identity and our livelihood that's built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, and out of that comes a confidence, a Christ-centered confidence that we can stand up to the situations of life. And so we said that that was a relationship that we needed to connect with. This week, I want to talk a little bit about another relationship that's also very foundational to our faith and to who we are as a church, is really connecting as a church. That we connect as a church with Christ, but we connect as a church with each other and with the people that come here. And so that is also very, very important that we would connect with Christ. And I want to look at a passage that really is after one of the passages we looked at last week. We looked at how Peter had sat down with the crowd and denied Christ. But then later in Acts 2, after Jesus sent the Holy Spirit on the church, Peter stood up in the crowd and confessed Christ, and how he had a greater confidence because of the transformation that Christ had on him. And so because of that, now he was able to see 3,000 people come to know Jesus. And as that happened now, this passage we're going to read today is about how all of those 3,000 people became the early church. And so in Acts 2:42, it says, "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship with those who were being saved." The title of my talk today is Couchsurfing Community. Couchsurfing Community. Because here in the Bible it shows that they're forming a strong community. And all the 3,000 people that had came to Jesus were coming together now, and they were forming the early church. And with that, we saw that miraculous signs and wonders were happening. Up to this point, the Bible was following Jesus and saying that Jesus was performing miraculous signs and wonders. But now after that, we're seeing that Jesus sent his presence through the Holy Spirit on the church, and the church is now they're performing miraculous signs and wonders. This is the fruition or the fruit of what Jesus was talking about in John 14 when he said, "You will do greater things than these because I am going to the Father." This is seeing that the church is now performing many miraculous signs and wonders, and a deep sense of awe was on all the people. That I want to be that type of church, a church where we have a deep sense of awe over the miraculous signs and wonders that are still happening. I still believe that the church is the hope of the world, because where Jesus is present, bodies are healed. Where Jesus is present, marriages are restored. Where Jesus is present, hope is renewed. And where Jesus is present, lives are transformed. And I still believe that that happens because Jesus is still present on this earth today through his church. Jesus has sent his Holy Spirit, and I pray that we would have a passion for the church, that God would work through our church to see more people come to Jesus and see more people's lives transformed because of the Holy Spirit working through you and me into people's lives, that things would broken things would be mended and we would be restored and made whole. And so the church is a place where people can come, but the church is not a building. The church is not a building. The church is you and me. It's who we are. That's the church is his people. And God has called his people to follow him. And so you can't say that, oh, I love Jesus. I want to follow Jesus and then not go to church. Because here's what the Bible calls the church. It calls the church the body of Christ. We are the tangible expression of Jesus. The Bible calls the church the bride of Christ. You can't tell me that you really like to hang out with me, but you hate my wife, or you don't want to see my wife ever. That is not going to be okay with me. And that's what we're saying to Jesus when we say, Jesus, I like you. You're really cool. You seem like a good prophet. You have some good wisdom. You seem like a lovable guy. You know, Jesus as my friend. And then say, but I don't like your church, Jesus. Because here's what the thing. Yes, the church is full of sinful, broken people. But that's who Jesus came to serve. That's who he came to die for. He came to die for you and me. And I believe that he is still present in our church. And miraculous signs and wonders can still happen because Jesus is still present in our church. Can I get somebody to say amen, please? Amen. Thank you. So that's how things are. And the church is the body of Christ, and it's a place where people can come and find wholeness, because the church is meant to be a community, and we need a communal home. I was trying to think of a metaphor, of what would be good to describe, and I was thinking, you know, we all have our personal homes, but we all need a communal home. We need a place where we can grow up and, you know, find shelter and find love. And that's what I thought the church was. But what society is selling us is loneliness. They're selling us for us to go out by ourselves and try to get the best things for ourselves. Look at this ad from Starbucks. I hope it's on there. Yes. The best coffee for the best you. The best coffee for the best you. And this is what I see in a lot of marketing and a lot of advertising. Hey, get this car. Like, there's a Lincoln ad, I think, with Matthew McConaughey driving down the road. And I don't think it says a whole lot about Lincoln, but it's just like, hey, look, Matthew McConaughey's really cool, and he's in a Lincoln. If you're in a Lincoln, you're going to be really cool like Matthew McConaughey. And so don't you want to be like that? Or there's people drinking beer, and they're throwing back some beers, and they're all having a great time. And nobody's drunk, but yet they are drunk, and nobody's hungover, and they don't show all the dumb things people do when they're drunk, but everybody's having a great time, and they're saying, if you buy our beer, you're going to have a great time, and you're going to look really great, just like these people look. And that's what society is selling us. They're trying to sell us loneliness, and unfortunately, we're buying it. We're buying it because, you know, think about a typical day with us. You wake up, and you get ready, and you do all the things you got to do to get ready before work. You go to work. You're at work, and as you work really hard all day. I know all of you work really hard all day at work, and you know I only work one day a week, so I must not be working very hard, right? So I just show up on Sunday and preach a little bit, but that's not really my week. Just for those of you. But, you know, so we work really hard, and then we come home, and maybe we clean up the house, or maybe we do some errands, and then we make some dinner, and then we're all exhausted, right? We're all exhausted by that time, and we sit down, and we watch TV, and then we go to sleep, and we do it all over again, and the weekends, we're just trying to catch up from being exhausted the whole week, and we're all busy, and that's how we live our lives. And you can wake up today with your iPhone, and you can, you know, wake up and eat some breakfast that you bought from Amazon Fresh, and then get in your garage, get in your car, drive to work, work in your cubicle at a computer, you know, with maybe the curtains closed on your cubicle if you put that on there, and then you get in your car, you drive home, you do whatever other shopping you need to do on Amazon, and you watch TV, and you go to sleep. And what did you not do that whole day? You didn't talk to a person face-to-face that whole day. And you can do that today. If you really want to do that, you don't have to talk to another person. We've made it possible that you can do that. And what happens then is that we have this need in ourselves, but we don't see that met. And the need is killing us. I have some stats I want to throw your way real quick. There was a study by Cigna that came out this last week, and it found around half of Americans admit that they are suffering from feelings of loneliness. Said people who spent the most time on social media had twice the odds of having greater perceived social isolation. They have a new diagnosis now. It's called Facebook depression, that you can actually be clinically prescribed or described as depressed because of social media usage. Now, I'm not making this up. This is actual, truly happening. And then it found the total number of prescriptions filled for adults and children in the U.S. increased by 85% from 1997 to 2016, while the U.S. population only increased 21%. The percentage of workers testing positive for illicit drugs such as cocaine, amphetamines, methamphetamines among the U.S. workforce increased to the largest percentage just recently, and this one got me right here. It said 34% of Americans spend dinner time alone, and nearly 30% of households in the U.S. are comprised of one person, which is the second most common household behind those that are married with children. In other words, almost a third of our population today are suffering from feelings of loneliness, living alone, spending dinner alone, and all of this loneliness is literally killing us. There was another article that came out just recently from a doctor writing for the New York Times, and he said that individuals with less social connection have disrupted sleep patterns, altered immune systems, more inflammation, higher levels of stress hormones, and isolation increases the risk of heart disease by 29% and stroke by 32%. Socially isolated individuals had a 30% higher risk of dying in the next 7 years, and this was largely with people in middle age. And then loneliness can accelerate cognitive decline in older adults. People are twice as likely to die prematurely as those with robust social interactions. Socially isolated children have significantly poor health 20 years later. And all in all, all told, the sum of it all is that loneliness is as important a risk factor in early death as obesity and smoking. It's crazy how we are so wired to need relationships, and yet so much we're listening to the fact that you need to reach the best life for you. You need to reach the best career. You need to reach the best everything. And what did we lose in all of that? We lost any sense of community, any sense of friendship. And it's literally killing us. And so we're out there trying to do all these things, and so we're couch surfing community. Couch surfing was a term that I heard when I was serving families experiencing homelessness. And there were plenty of families who were couch surfing, who were responsible individuals that fell on hard times, like a single mother getting divorced and not being able to follow up and, you know, be able to provide for her kids. And we were able to help people like that get placed in housing and get a job and do good things. But there were a few people that I found that were couch surfing, and they wouldn't be responsible. They wouldn't take the commitment to be able to do what they needed to do to get out of that situation. My sister had a woman living like this that was living with her for 6 months. And my sister wanted to help this woman. And so she said, "Hey, don't pay us anything. No rent, no utilities. We're not expecting anything from you. Just come. You can live here for 6 months. And during that time, what you would have spent on rent, I want you to put in savings so that after the 6 months," she had a young daughter, said, "I want you and your daughter to go find housing for yourself." So that was the plan. Well, 6 months kind of goes by, and this woman's working. She's kind of coming back. But she met this guy who had just come out of prison, and my sister's like, "This isn't a good guy. This isn't going to be a good thing for you." And so she ended up going out late sometimes, partying with this guy. One time she even brought her daughter out to a movie, and they came back at 2 a.m., and my sister was just really distraught because here was this young girl that was staying out really late when she had school the next day, and ended up, after 6 months, this woman hadn't saved a dime of the money that my sister had asked her to save. And she would just kept going. As we saw her, she kept going from house to house to house to house, never seeing any difference in her life because she'd never committed to any change, and she never committed to any kind of community that could help her get out of that situation. And when I was trying to think of a metaphor, like, what are we doing these days? That is kind of what we're doing sometimes. We have a different term for this in the church world, and it's called church shopping. That when we go check out different churches, and this church didn't meet my needs, and so I'm going to go to the next church. And this church, I'm kind of like checking things out, and it's not good, and I didn't meet my needs, so I'm going to go to the next church. And while we love people to come and check things out, and we want people to check things out, and maybe this isn't the right church for some people, that's totally fine. We want to help you find the right church for you. But if you're coming here, and you're coming here, and you're coming here, and you're coming to a worship service, and you're not getting connected beyond, then you're missing out. It's like coming to a party and watching everybody else have fun and not engaging yourself. Well, you're invited. That's why we do the events. It's why we do the groups. It's why we do everything, because we want to make it as easy as possible to connect. Because do we need it? No, we know that people need it, and we are called to serve people because of Jesus, and we want to see people come to know Jesus. And so we want to start things here at this church that's going to make it easier for people to connect. One of those things that we're going to be starting is membership. Now, membership is not like, you know, becoming a member at the YMCA or becoming a member of a Rotary Club or a member of a credit union or something like that. Becoming a member at a church is more like saying, I'm going to become a family member. These are my people. I believe in this vision. And so I'm going to become a member of this church. And so when we have the class next week, and there's not going to be any commitment just to come, you can just come and check it out and see, hey, is this really the church for me? Are these my people? Is this the vision? And so we're going to share that with you. And that'll give you a chance to decide, is this what I want? Because we know that people need a communal home. Like I said, we all have our personal home, and our personal home is that place where we're protected, where we're with our family, where we serve in our communal, in our personal home and in our family home. We know we can grow up there. We know that's a safe place. Well, and just like that, we also need a communal home. We need a place where we can feel protected, where we can feel safe, where we can feel like, hey, this is the place where my family can grow. This is the place where I'm loved. This is the place where I belong. And this is the place, ultimately, where I'm going to grow in my faith and grow in Jesus. That's what a communal home is, because we know that families, and I know this, I have 3 young kids and my wife, and I am not enough for my family. I don't have all the skills they need. I don't have all the resources they need. I don't have even all of the moral support and emotional support that my family needs. I need other people around my kids and around my wife and around me that can come alongside me. And when I'm going through difficult times, they can pour into me and invest in me. Or when I need to learn how to do something, they can help me. And so I want to talk today about 3 reasons. But before I do that, I just want to read this verse from Habakkuk. Habakkuk 3:2 says, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day, in our time. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. You see, I believe that when we connect as a church, that the Holy Spirit comes together. Jesus said, where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there I am. And I know that it's in the presence of Jesus that people are restored, lives are healed. Just like I said before, don't you want to see that as a church? I long to see that. I long to say, God, repeat your miraculous signs and wonders in our day. God, make your fame known. God, I want to see amazing things happen, because I don't just believe that everything I see is all there is. I believe that there is a higher power. There's a spiritual power in the name of Jesus, that people can be changed and transformed because of what Christ still wants to do through his church today. Can I have some people say amen? Amen. Amen. Are you with me still? Because here is the fact that we want to, as a church, we want to connect because we want to see the fame of Christ made known. We want to see the power of God released. We want to see lives transformed. And so we want to go through that. And so I want to talk about 3 things that from verse 42 that it says. First, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This is, I say, that there was advice. The apostles were there, and the New Testament hadn't been written yet. They were mostly focusing on the Old Testament. But there was these apostles that were talking about this guy, Jesus, that they spent 3 years with and that they had seen died and resurrected and then ascended into heaven. And so there were these apostles that were talking about, hey, here's all the things Jesus taught us. And I'm sure they were talking to people about life and how do we do this. And so these apostles were giving these people teaching and they were giving them advice. Often today, we don't think we need those things. Because we got our best friend, YouTube. You can look on YouTube and find out how to do anything. In fact, there was a woman who actually built a house by watching YouTube. She found out how to do everything by watching YouTube. But what you can't get from YouTube, what you can only get from church, is that personal relationship, that advice and accountability that only comes when you have a relationship with a person in a face-to-face context and they know you and they can speak to your situation and speak to who you are. YouTube can't do that. We need people around us that can do that. And so singles, you know, maybe we have a few singles in our church, singles like guys who are single. Maybe, you know, you need to have some people in your life that can tell you, hey, maybe you need to do one of these. Do we have the picture? Maybe you need one of these, singles. Like, you need to kind of brush your teeth more often because maybe your breath is scaring away all the girls that could be coming to you. And we've got to have some people in your life that love you enough that will tell you, hey, bro, you're an awesome guy, but you need to use some mouthwash or get some Banaka or something because you're scaring away all the girls, bro. So, you know, or single ladies. Maybe we have, actually, I wouldn't point out anything specific for ladies. I know better than to do that. So so we're just going to move right along. But we don't want to say, we don't want a family alone. We don't want to do everything alone. Guys, if you have kids, we want to partner with you in raising your kids. What other place in the community will come alongside and partner with you and say, hey, we want to help you do one of the most difficult things that you're ever going to do in raising another human being to be, we as a church, we want to partner with you in that. And we're going to do that for free. But it's not for free because we know people give because they know they support what we're trying to do in seeing families raise their kids in Christ, just like Connor was here. He's helping to raise your kids in Christ. And it's nice when we see 16-year-olds come and they want to join our youth group, but we know that if it's at that point, there's a lot of catching up to do. It's better if you start earlier. And so if you have kids, get your kids involved in our youth group. Get them involved in our children's. Get them going there so that we can partner with you in helping to raise your kids in Christ. But we don't want to just partner with you in your parenting. We also want to partner with you in your marriage. In February, we're actually going to be doing a marriage retreat. So look for that. But we want to partner with you in creating strong marriages because we know we can't do it alone. We need to be able to have others around us who can support us. Every marriage needs some support now to avoid the need for life support later. We need some support now to avoid the need for life support later. You know, some people say, oh, well, I don't have time to be a part of church. I don't have time to join a group. I don't have time to be a part of the marriage retreat. But when their marriage starts failing, it doesn't matter whether they have time or not. Now, all of a sudden, it's going to be a lot more costly and going to be a lot more time intensive. We've got to be able to have some support now to avoid the need for life support later, because other people can see what you can't see coming. They can see it coming. What is it? That's just the point. You can't see it. And so we need to have other people around us. Have you ever seen a couple raise their kids and they're not raising their kids with any boundaries, or they're just treating their kids harshly, and you know, they treat their kids and they're raising them and you know the direction. You know where it's going. The parents can't see it. Or have you ever seen a husband, how he treats his wife, and he treats his wife and treats his wife, and you know the direction their marriage is heading, but they can't see it coming. Or have you ever seen how a wife talks about her husband and talks about her husband, and you know the direction of where their marriage is going, but she can't see it coming? We all have to have some people in our lives who love us enough that they'll point things out for us, because they know that if they don't, they're going to see the direction of your life and it's not going to a good place. We know we need to have people like that in our life and that can see it coming. We need to have some mentors in our life. Mentors give us four things. Our mentors give us wisdom. There's people that are further on the journey in life than you in this church. And they will give you wisdom to say, look, I've walked the journey you're walking. I'm further along the road than you are. And I can tell you where the rough spots are so that you can pass over those and miss those. They're going to give you wisdom. There's people in this life, this being a part of a church gives you accountability. When you feel like giving up and living lower, there can be other people in your life that can call you higher. My dad said, don't ever stoop to other people's level. If people are going to put you down, if people are going to call you names, don't return that in kind, because then you're stooping to their level and you're becoming like them. Josh, you are higher, so live higher. My dad was holding me accountable and said, not helping me to give up and to live lower, but to call me higher. There's people in this church that will give you life skills. There, in our last church, there was a guy who we needed to add a second bathroom to our house because we were five people with one bathroom and it wasn't pretty. And so we needed a second bathroom in our house. And so we had this closet, looked like it should have been a bathroom, but it was just a closet. I think there was one outlet and one light bulb and that was it. And I was like, how do I do this? I don't know how to do this. I've never done anything like this before. Well, there was a guy in our church, a friend of mine, that said, Josh, I'll help you. And my wife encouraged me, and he came, and he had done a bathroom before. And so I got started and took steps of faith and faith and faith. And, you know, we ended up adding up all the plumbing. We added some electrical. We ended up doing a sink, a shower, and a toilet, and it came out wonderful. Could I have done that by myself? Absolutely not. I probably would have screwed the whole thing up. But I had somebody else that loved me enough that he helped me for free to be able to do that. Saved me thousands of dollars. And so there are people in this church that whatever your need is, they've got that life skill you need that can help you do those things. Finally, people give you knowledge. They give you some of the book smarts and things like maybe you don't know how to navigate helping your kids go to college. Maybe they have that. They have that knowledge. Or you don't know about math and you don't know how to help your kids with math, but somebody else in here knows how to help your kids with math. And so they have some of the book smarts that's needed. Well, that's wisdom, accountability, life skills, and knowledge. They're going to help you walk out life. They're going to help you walk out life better and give you advice, because there is people in here that you don't have the resources by yourself that people are going to need. Also, so give you advice. So then it's also in verse 42, it says that they devoted themselves to fellowship. This to me is belonging, that they devoted themselves to belonging. So we had advice, and then we had belonging. And in verse 46, it says, they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. We need belonging. That is not just a good idea. It is an absolute need. There was a guy called Maslow who wrote the famous thing called the Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. And he was a psychologist, and it's used a lot these days. But the most basic need, which is what we would all guess, it's, you know, food, water, air, shelter, those just basic biological needs. But beyond that, then, is safety. So, you know, that we're not shot or that we're not, like, having a limb cut off or something, you know. So just that we're safe. Right above that, right above being, you know, getting our biological needs met and being safe is belonging. It's a basic, basic need. And one of the worst places to be is to be alone in a crowded room where you're seeing everybody else connecting, but you feel like you don't belong. And that's why we work really hard at this church for people that are new to feel like they can get connected and belong quickly. Because we know that if people will come to a friendly church for 6 months, but if they don't make friends after 6 months, then they'll leave. Because people don't want a friendly church. Ultimately, they want friends. And if they go off to another church, then that's a bummer for us. But if they don't go to church, if they're desperate and checking out church for the first time, and they come here and they don't get connected, and then they leave and don't go to a church, that's a loss for the kingdom, and that's on us. And so we want to help people get connected, because we know that people often need to belong before they believe, sometimes even before they behave. And so people want to come and get connected, and we know when their people are connected, they're more likely to stick around and follow Jesus, they're more likely to serve, they're more likely to grow in their faith, and all of those things because of who Jesus is. And so we want to help people belong. And so people tell me and say, oh, Josh, I visited your church. And I'm always gracious, and I'm always, you know, trying to help people check things out. But I think in the back of my mind, no, you really didn't. Because you came to a worship service. Because the church is not just a worship service. The church is people loving one another. The church is people serving together as a church. The church is people serving out in the community together. The church is people growing together. That's the church. That's what happens when the church comes together, is we see people begin to grow. And so I believe that circles are better than rows. And I love rows, and these are rows, and I make a living talking to rows, but I believe that circles are better than rows, that when you get involved in a group, when you get involved in an event, when you get involved in serving, and you get involved in that circle where it's you and other people, and they know you, and they know your story, and they love you, then that is really where you're going to see growth happen. That's where you're really going to see the change of your life happen. Because people want that, but honestly, people are turning away from that. People are turning to counseling, and counselors are great, but counselors can't replace friends. And I think any counselor would tell you that too. People are turning not even to good things. They're turning to drugs and alcohol and all of these things to medicate their need for community, their need for belonging. But yet that need is there. It's still there in each and every one of us. We all have that need for belonging. And some people are turning away from church because they're saying the church is full of hypocrites. Well, I would say, yes, you're just figuring this out now. Yes, the church is full of hypocrites, but so is everywhere else, right? The Rotary Club is full of hypocrites. Schools are full of hypocrites. Workplaces are full of hypocrites. I'm a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. Sorry, you need to come to a church where the pastor tells you you're a hypocrite. And you came to that church today. So we are all hypocrites. Yes, I do things that where I say the opposite. Or I say things and then I don't do it. And that happens. Yes, I'm a sinner. I'm a broken man. Just like everybody else. I say stupid things. I say stupid things at times, and then I'm like, oh, Josh, why did you say that? But you know what? Our God is not a hypocrite. Amen. Our Jesus was never a hypocrite and will never be a hypocrite. And I know that when I want to come and find Jesus, I come and find his presence at church. When I worship God, God comes down, and he is there for me. And the God that can change my heart so that it changed me from being a hypocrite, that's where I can meet him. And so I need church. I need to come here. I need to come and be in relationship with people. I need to come and talk to other men in our church and say, hey, this is what I'm struggling with. And they can come to me and say, hey, Josh, this is what I'm struggling with. And iron sharpens iron, and we can grow each other as men. And we're trying to start a men's ministry here, so we'll have a meeting after that, and I'll announce it. We need that. We need that in our church so that we can develop what I call intimacy. I love the word intimacy because it's into me see. I want us to be an authentic church. I get it. You know, we can't always spill the beans right here in a worship service with people we just met. But over time, we should be building relationship so that we can begin to be authentic with each other and begin to see who we are, really. Because we are not a church that's a country club for members. We are a church that's a hospital for the broken. We are a church that is trying to throw out a lifeline called Jesus to people in need. And so we want to see them come and see them meet Jesus in a real and authentic way that they could see that he is still God. Finally, in verse 42, it says that they shared meals and they prayed. And I would say that this is care. This is best described as care. So we have advice, belonging, and care. And in Ecclesiastes 4, it says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So have you ever seen somebody fall and not be able to have somebody there to help them up? Maybe they fell financially and they didn't, you know, they just couldn't make the bills that month, or they couldn't make rent that month or something, and they fell financially and nobody was there to help them up. Or maybe there was a marriage that they were trying to carry all the weight of life themselves, all the weight of work and all the weight of bills and chores and kids and everything, and they were trying to carry all that weight and they fell in their marriage and ended up getting divorced because there was no one there to help them up. Or have you ever seen somebody fall in morally and there was nobody there to help them up? Or somebody fall because of a serious illness and there was nobody there to help them up? We had a wedding yesterday and there was a lot of people from church and they weren't falling in any way, but they were coming in as a church and we were saying, hey, we're going to support you. We're going to be there for you to help this marriage succeed because we want to see it succeed. And so, because oftentimes, the verse said, it said, though two can be overpowered, one can be overpowered, two can defend themselves. And I don't think we think about being overpowered these days, but we do think about being overwhelmed. I think we can replace that word with overwhelmed, because a lot of people, especially in this time, can feel overwhelmed. And we don't know how we're going to take care of anything. We don't know how we're going to do everything. But I believe that you will respond better if you have somebody there to help you up. Group life and being involved in church is like retirement savings. If you invest in it little by little as you go, then it'll be there when you need it. If you haven't invested and you all of a sudden you need it, it's not there for you. When you have a difficult time, that I would pray that you would have people already in place who could come around you and support you and be there for you. This is really, really important. This is super personal for my wife and I. Several years ago, I ended up in a coma for 2 weeks because I got severely sick. And I was in Everett, and my wife was down here in Tacoma with our kids, and they didn't know what to do. They didn't know how they were going to make it because every day she had to drive up to Everett to see me, and she had to drive back down. But we had a community of friends around us in our church and in the Life Christian Academy, the school where my kids go, that came around us, and our kids stayed with them overnight, and they helped us with meals, and the school was around Christmas time, so they brought our kids presents, and there was no way we would have made it through that time if we didn't have a community around us that could support us when we weren't able to support ourselves. And so I pray that you would have somebody like that, that can be there for you in the difficult times. Because we get calls at church, and they say, people come and say, oh, can you help us? And we need this. And we always show concern and compassion. But I ask people a lot of times, are you in a group? Like, do you have anybody? And I can't tell you how many times the answer is no. No, I'm not in a group. And so they didn't have anybody there to help them when the need came. And so they had to call the church. And the church was the receptionist, or the church was the pastoral staff. And, you know, we're not a huge church. We're, you know, a smaller church, but so I know a lot of you, but I can't know everybody really well. And so I can visit you in the hospital, but I'm going to have to get to know you while I'm visiting you. Or I can, you know, try to help you move or things like that. But, you know, I can only do so much. I can't help everybody. If everybody was to move today, there's no way I could do that, although I would try, because I love people. But I can't do that. I can't do it all. And so when you get involved in a group and something happens and you go to the hospital, they're going to know your backstory. They're going to know everything about you. When you need care, when you need help moving, you're going to have people around you that are going to help you move. This is what being church life is. It's having people around you to be able to help you do what God has called you to do. The verse finishes, it says, a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And in Romans 12, 4-6, it says, For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, which is the third strand of the three-corded strand, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body. That's the one strand out of the three. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophecy in accordance with faith. You see, we need to not only receive care, but we need to also give care. And we need to get involved as a church. Like I said, I want to see the power and the fame of God, of Christ, spread through because of this church. But if we don't get involved, if we don't get connected and get involved in serving, then we are not going to see that. And that would break my heart. But I know that each and every one of you have a gift, that God has gifted you with something unique. And there is something that is not being done in this church because you are not doing it. And you and God placed you here. You think you came here, you chose to come here. God has placed you here for a reason. And because you have a gift that is unique to you. And you might say, oh, well, I don't think I have any gifts. Well, you're selling yourself short because God believes in you. He believes that you have a gift. He believes that you have something. And he has placed you here because there is something that needs to be done in this church that is not being done because you are not doing it, because you are not getting involved. And so I would encourage each and every one of you, whatever your gift is, everybody is a 10 in some area of their life. And think about this. I want you to think, you know, maybe I haven't sold you on this whole idea of community and getting involved up to this point. But think about this. Think about your own story. Think about your parents. Maybe they went through something really difficult. And your own parents went through, and your own family went through something when you were younger. Think about how if they were connected to a community, how that would change them and how that would have changed that situation. Think about your own family, maybe your own kids. How did that go? Maybe if you had somebody that was there, that would have been there for you. See, I think so often we're trying to get the church into culture, but there's too much of culture in the church, and there's too much of this idea of individualism, and I can do it by myself, this kind of rugged individualism. And so we're all trying to do the best things, but we're all trying to carry the weight of life ourselves, and it's a huge burden that we can't carry by ourselves. We need a community to be there with us. I pray that we would be that kind of church, that would have a community, that would see, that would come together and connect and see what God wants to do, that we would see the fame of God, that we would be in church, that every one of us is in it, has a deep sense of awe because of the miraculous signs and wonders that God is doing through our church.